a businessman or businesswoman and an investor, you just need to get better every day. And through the law of compounding, you know, we think of compounding interest, compounding money. Everybody talks about that. But the law of compounding also applies to efforts and focus. You know, so if you compound your focus and you compound your efforts over time, you're going to get hockey stick growth, you know, in your craft as a business owner and as an investor as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real Estate Investor MBA. My name is Tejas Gosai, and I've had the honor of helping hundreds of investors achieve the American dream by creating generational wealth through real estate. I've spent the past few years interviewing the most knowledgeable experts I could find in the business to cut your learning time and conquer the hardest subjects in the game. Check out rei.mba, which my team and I have packed with over 75 interviews and free access to our real estate roadmap, webinars, and publications. If you're listening, I am rooting for you, and you're already on your way to financial freedom. Cheers and happy hunting. Hey guys, welcome back to your favorite real estate podcast. It's Real Estate Investor MBA. I have the honor and pleasure of being your host. My name is Tejas Gosai, and my partner Jeremy is flying to Kansas this week, so I'm sorry he can't make it, but I promise it's going to be a great show. Today, we have the cash flow ninja on our program, MC Lobsher, who was a previous rugby player and ended up just killing it when he read Robert Kiyosaki's book at a young age and put Rich Dad, Poor Dad into motion. So rather than go on and on about him, he has millions of downloads with the Cashflow Ninja podcast. He's in over 180 countries. And the best thing I want to say to our listeners here is this guy helps you compound your growth in real estate. That is his primary objective. And we just had a podcast on 1031 Exchange, another one on asset management. You'll see that a lot of these experts that we have are totally cool with talking to you about what has worked and what hasn't. They all have resources. They're all teachers. They want to get that information out there. And a lot of it's free. You don't have to pay for a coach or worry about, you know, is somebody going to answer my email? Give the email a shot. Give them a call. We usually share the phone numbers and information on our podcast. So I'm inviting you to call the Cashflow Ninja. Now, go to our website, rei.mba. I have worked my butt off to make this website into what it is now. We have a real estate roadmap. You can sign up for free. A bunch of articles in a section that we're calling Market Intel. We're curating articles nationally and locally in the market that I practice in with my commercial real estate group and our private equity fund called the Lehigh Valley Private Equity Fund. Also, we have inventory on our website, something new that we've been trying out. We've had a lot of great success. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who's made our stuff possible. Check out MC Cashflow Ninja. Cheers, guys. Hey, guys, we're here. It's Tejas Gosai, Real Estate Investor MBA. Awesome guest, MC Lobsher. I got that right?
Absolutely.
It's the Cashflow Ninja. And you have, I can say this, you've made people wealthy. It's an honorable thing to do. You've done it for a pretty long time. You know your stuff. And that's one of the reasons we have our program, right? We want people to have generational wealth or financial freedom. So welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Bring me to date.
Yeah. So I'm originally from South Africa. I actually came to the United States in 2001. Believe it or not, time flies when you're having fun. Came here, just backpack, $500, a suitcase, sense of humor, sense of adventure. I ended up playing here in a sports league up until 2007. But the one thing that struck me about the United States was just the incredible opportunity that this country provided. Incredible opportunity for upward mobility. I don't think most people that grew up, that are born and grew up in the United States realize that. They take it for granted very much. And it's still that. And I mean, we're at the beginning stage of kind of like the explosion of the internet to the masses. We had the dot-com boom a little bit, but you know, the adoption rate wasn't that common yet throughout the rest of the world. The US was way ahead of everyone else. So now with the internet and with this digital world, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, the opportunity is incredible. Enormous upside mobility for a lot of folks all around the world. I mean, if you have access to a smartphone, which most people have, even in most parts of Africa and in South Africa where I'm from, and you can connect and plug into the World Wide Web, there's an opportunity for you. I came here and I traveled and played in a national sports league, and I have a degree in economics and history. I just love economics, love history. And my mom actually gave me the book Rich Dad Poor Dad to read. And it came out in 1997 and I read it in 2001. You know, growing up in South Africa, I grew up during a very interesting time. And I was a young man when all the massive changes happened in that country, right? You went from, you know, a totalitarian regime over to Nelson Mandela being released in 1991, 1994, you had the election. I was around 13, 14 years old. So as a young man, my world was kind of rocked, right? I saw firsthand that there was massive changes obviously happening all around us. Everything that was kind of the status quo was flipped upside down. So that led to, you know, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. There was disruption. There was chaos. People didn't know what was going to happen next, because most people have never lived through something like that at that stage, right? Right now, most people have never lived through something like that. You know, around the world, there's pockets of people that have. But even in the US, and especially in the West, Europe and, you know, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they've never lived through something like that. It really shaped how I thought about things. And I realized the world was not as it was presented, really not at all, very early on. So I critically challenged everything, questioned everything. I was curious. Same thing about money. So when that Rich Dad, Poor Dad book was placed in my hands and I started reading it, it kind of confirmed everything that I felt in my gut. I couldn't quite justify it yet. I felt it. I felt like something was off. Like, you know, the information about money, the game of money and capital and wealth and how the game's supposed to be played and what the rules are and who the players are. I don't think everybody had the information, but that book really shared that because it changed your paradigm.
Absolutely.
And you know, I took action. I bought my first property shortly afterwards in single family. I put in renters in the property. I collected rent. I paid all of the expenses and there was money left over. And I'm like, man, this is incredible. Cash flow.
One sip of the Kool-Aid.
Just like the book.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the question became, how many times can I do this? And then, of course, every real estate investor will tell you that's when school starts. As everyone knows, hey, fun fact. Tenants might not pay rent all the time, right? They might damage your property. There's a lot of things that could happen. Yeah, that kickstarted the journey for me in the investment side. I was really unemployable at one stage because I was traveling all the time playing sports all across the US.
Let me pause you. You got to tell me what sport. We haven't heard what sport yet.
Yeah, rugby. So I played rugby.
Of course. That's awesome. Thank you.
That's the great thing about rugby too, right? When I ended up in the United States, the rugby network around the world is quite incredible. It's a brotherhood of just, it's a network. You have instant friends wherever you go. You can find a rugby club all over the world. And I had a scholarship in university in South Africa. And obviously that's, you know, that's a very big sport there. They're the current world champions, you know, in rugby. And it's a very, very big sport there. So I ended up playing in a national-based league here, traveled a lot.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. And I was unemployable at that stage really because of that. So I had a friend that I met through the rugby network that was a real estate investor. His family had been investing in multifamily and had an enormous portfolio of multifamily properties. And, you know, he gave me an opportunity and I literally started right working my way from the bottom up. I literally started picking up trash, you know, in multifamily properties. And I just saw it as a gift. I'm like, man, I got to see, I get to learn this business from literally the ground up. And I was pretty excited because, you know, message from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, work to learn, right? And I'm like, this is not my time to make money right now. I need to learn as much as I can. So I started like picking up trash, doing construction, helping with apartment turnovers, eventually like doing leasing, doing contracts, negotiating with vendors for properties, to eventually managing over 500 units for them as a property manager. And then eventually, you know, got my broker's license, became part of an acquisition team and started to see how the game was played at the real high level because those folks were incredible. I mean, I chased this one investor that I knew that had a portfolio that wanted to offload it. I chased him around for 6 to 8 months, never got in touch with him. One morning I go into the office around 7:30. He just closed the deal with my buddy's partner, walks out of the office. And I'm like sitting there as a young guy going, what the heck just happened here? And I realized coaching moment, teachable moment, you know, learning moment for this young guy. I'm like, there's cash flow ninjas, as I call them. There's people that play at a very high level. They were the people that you would contact on the north side of the city of Chicago, if you wanted to buy or sell real estate, because if you wanted to sell it, they were probably going to buy it from you if it fits within their criteria. And if they didn't, they were going to basically buy it and offload it and flip it to another investor because they knew what everybody was buying. I mean, they literally, nothing moved in that market without them knowing.
That's amazing.
And the realization there was, you can't compete with these people. This, I mean, how does a weekend warrior go into this and compete with these people? You have no chance. But it turned into, how do I collaborate with them? How do I partner with them? And of course, you have to become useful. You have to bring some capital to it, whether it's intellectual, whether it's skill sets, whether it's knowledge, whether you're going to work in the trenches for them and actually get involved in operations, whether you bring capital to the table. And I just looked at that and an entire world just opened up with that one thought, because I'm like, this is incredible. I could just find the best people in the best market, in the best niches, and figure out a way to partner with them instead of trying to do everything myself. And it's going to give me an opportunity to invest in more than one market. It's going to give me an opportunity to invest in different niches. Like it just opened up a different world. And
scalability.
Yeah, exactly. It was this huge light bulb moment. First light bulb was cash flow. You know, the second was like, oh my goodness, collaborate and partnerships. And it becomes a lot of fun to do it as part of a community too. And then the third kind of thing that I would share too is looking at what family offices do, because that's also the insight that I had through my friend was, we're in our own world as business owners and just as investors, and we're good at what we do, but we have such tunnel vision. And I was guilty of that too. And then I started to realize, man, there's a really holistic approach to building wealth and protecting wealth and growing and multiplying wealth. And that was when the model of family offices kind of came in, and I learned a lot from them. And the primary thing that I saw was they created essentially their own banking system. They were just like banks or the chessboard in the game of capital, if you would argue that. They're not the piece. You know, family offices have figured out a way to become a chessboard too, and not just another piece on the chessboard, because they have a system of controlling capital flows in and out of their personal business and investing economies. So I've started a couple of businesses through the couple of years. Producers Wealth is a company that I started in 2015, where we share with folks and we help clients in all 50 states in the United States of how to structure and create these banking systems through the infinite banking strategy. And then I started Cashflow Ninja in 2016. So it's crazy how time flies. We've pumped out about 900 episodes now, close to that, between the two shows that we do.
Cheers.
We've recorded quite a bit, but that just took everything else that we were doing and it amplified it. And that started as a podcast, kind of a passion project, you know, just interviewing great cashflow ninjas, basically sharing everything that we've learned. I love people that eat their own cooking, you know, practice what they're preaching. So those are the folks that we talk to. And it's kind of amplified everything else that we're doing. And it really has turned into a full-blown education company now that we have books and programs and so forth.
Yeah, you have so much on one website and, you know, all of your media out there. It's great that you're educating people. You're a big teacher.
And I come from a family of teachers. So my mom and my dad both have teaching backgrounds. And my dad is the martial artist. So he still teaches martial arts. And that's actually where the ninja comes in, which is kind of a philosophical approach to building wealth. You know, one of the things that I saw from my dad was his approach to his craft, which is martial arts, is he pursues excellence in his craft daily. He's 74 years old, could still kick my butt. And I'm a pretty big guy. You know, he gets up every day and he just tries to get better and he pursues excellence. We have the syndrome, which is really a pandemic. It's called the arrival syndrome that Nelson Nash talks about, where people go to college or school and they go, all right, I'm good. I've arrived in knowledge, instead of pursuing
whatever I want.
Yeah. And lifelong learning. It's the same thing with your craft as a businessman or a businesswoman and an investor. You just need to get better every day. And through the law of compounding, you know, we think of compounding interest, compounding money. Everybody talks about that. But the law of compounding also applies to efforts and focus. You know, so if you compound your focus and you compound your efforts over time, you're going to get hockey stick growth, you know, in your craft as a business owner and as an investor as well.
And that's really what, you know, is the success of your success. There's people out there that have followed your methods and they've put it in action. Can you tell me about you know, some of the latest and greatest and some of the newer listeners. It's fun to talk about big numbers, if you can share some of those fun things.
Yeah. Well, I know we're over 180 countries right now, over 5 million downloads, and we've seen incredible things. You know, some of our listeners, there's two ladies that they were working moms at one stage, and they were listeners of the show, and they used to listen to the show. You know, now it's, what are we in now, 2022? So they used to listen to the show way back in 2016, 2017, and 2018. They literally became financially free, were able to quit their jobs, started their own businesses in the real estate space as investors, and they're doing huge deals now. It's like, it's just incredible to see what people have done and continue to do. And the big thing that we try to share with folks too is we try to find frameworks by studying the best minds in business and investing. And then we try to incorporate those frameworks into what we do. You know, I was saying, you don't have to be a Rockefeller to do what the Rockefellers do. And when you look at a wealth creation framework, and I'll just share this one quickly, you know, we have a framework where essentially you make your money, your capital, there's capital creation, you produce and create in certain capacities, whether it's an employee, self-employed, business owner, and or investor, like Robert Kiyosaki teaches in his cash flow quadrant, you create capital in some way, shape, or form, and then you have to position capital somewhere. Capital has to reside somewhere. Money has to sit somewhere, whether it's in your pillowcase, you know, in a tin can in your backyard, in a bank, it has to sit somewhere before it's deployed into cash flowing investments, into growth and areas for growth. And then, of course, you have to protect everything through tax strategy, asset protection, and estate planning. So it's a very simple framework. And when you look at that, you know, every person that I've interviewed, basically, they have that framework. They make their money somehow. And it's basically they learn, they do, and they teach, a lot of them, because there's such a market for that strategy where you learn something, you implement and execute it, you become really good at it, and eventually you master it. And then once you master it, you teach others that, and you can monetize that knowledge in that way too, because there's a lot of people that obviously are looking for someone else that have mastered something that they want to learn from. But that framework is applicable to a lot of people, you know, and one of the main focuses that we look at too is where you can fine tweak things really is capital positioning, you know. And that's from cash flow management strategies, plugging cash flow leaks. People are losing a lot of money every month, every year that they're even unaware of. So we do that. We play good defense, because defense wins your championships. You know, offense wins your games. And then, of course, once you've plugged cash flow leaks, you've got proper cash flow management systems, you've got great capital allocation, and now you're deploying it back in your business and into cash flow investments. Now you can swing for the fences, essentially. So yeah, we just use the frameworks. It's the same with family offices too. You know, everybody says, well, that's, you know, family office is a private wealth management firm that manages money for, you know, a family that has over $100 million. How can I use the things that they do? One of the first things that family offices do that we also share is they have legacy documents. So they have a statement of purpose, which is their declaration of independence, essentially. And then they have a family constitution, which essentially outlines the principles, the values, the thinking, the philosophy, the intellectual capital of the family, and it codifies it. And that's how they transfer it through generations and generations and generations. That doesn't cost you any money. So, you know, we just shared that kind of stuff. And that's kind of been the success of, you know, how folks have benefited from what we share is we create frameworks for ourselves, and then we implement and execute it. And when it works, we're like, hey, this really, really works well if you want to go and implement, you know, this certain strategy or this certain tactic.
Yeah. And now, you know, you're reaching the folks, they're coming through, they're happy, their children are at better schools, whatnot. How about the market now? Things are dicey. I try to ask every guest lately, like, what's your crystal ball? But you're very specific, because you're, you know, I do think people that understand cash flow and spreads and, you know, everything you've been mentioning, you know, they're not scared. And most people are scared, but you seem very confident. Let's share what you can share.
Yeah. So since 2020, we've shared a lot of things that challenges the mindset and challenges the paradigm, worldviews, and beliefs of people, because people have had their world rocked so quickly. We basically essentially moved 10 years into the future within like 1 or 2 months. you know, I'll share a quick story and then I'll get to the economic outlook and the markets and so forth. I was doing consulting while I was doing my MBA, and we had a meeting, and this was at Amazon, actually. I was working just kind of on a project with them. And now I'm talking now back circa like, boy, 2010, 2011, probably like around there, or I mean, it could be even earlier, but it's around about that time. So let's just say about 10, 12 years ago. And in that, what I witnessed, I walked past a meeting room, and what I witnessed was there were three people in a meeting room, in a conference room, and they had like the big TV screen up with someone on Skype, because Zoom didn't even exist at that point. So it was like a Skype call with people in different parts of the country. And someone was also from overseas, actually. And I looked at that and I'm like, I don't understand why everybody isn't doing this. This just makes so much sense. Why isn't companies, I mean, at that stage, if you look at, and I know there's a value of the in-person stuff, completely with you, the physical stuff. I am so on board with all of that stuff. But as far as an efficiency, if you were a big corporation, for example, like it just makes so much sense. Yeah, there'll still be things that you would do in-person stuff for, but a lot of stuff could have been done virtually. And I said to myself, and that's why I built my companies all virtually. People are like, oh, you have this crystal ball. How did you know this is? I saw it at that meeting where I walked past, and it just made so much. It was just common sense where it's like, this is where it's going to go. And then if you read the studies at that time, and again, this is like 10, 12 years ago, where they're like, people that were working remote and virtually, they were happier. They had more well-balanced lives. They were more productive. You know, and it wasn't 100% virtual. They were like in between the home and going in on some days, let's just say. And the overheads got lower for employers. So I looked at that and I'm like, it's kind of a no-brainer almost. Think about it. So anyway, so I built my companies completely virtually because I saw this trend of this technology rollout, and technology is hockey sticking, you know, with artificial intelligence, you know, like just blowing up already. We're already using it. It's already in our world. We just don't know about it, right? And then you've got 3D printing. You've got, I mean, the Internet of Things, which are a lot, connect all these things and connect it to you. We're already connected. I mean, you know, I hear folks getting hyperbolic of how humans will be connected to the internet. I'm like, we're already connected to it.
Yeah, we're basically cyborgs. All I do is look at my screen.
Yeah, your smart watch, basically, and all that kind of stuff. So bringing that like back to our conversation, I just wanted to share that tidbit with you because you can see snippets of the future already. And in 2020, we just went, boom, virtual. Completely. And everybody said, oh, we can't do virtual. It will take too much. The infrastructure, it's such a headache. All of a sudden, all these corporations were able to do it like within a week.
Yeah, no issue whatsoever.
No issue. Didn't skip a beat. You know, so that was one of the big things, which then changes the economy completely. The world is flipped upside down, which I'll get to the exciting point, why I'm so positive and confident about a lot of stuff. But you have to first look at the dangers, right? What's out there? Another framework, we look at dangers, opportunities, and strengths, which I got from my coach, Dan Sullivan, at Strategic Coach. The dangers is the world flips upside down. Like now you can hire anyone. So if you're an employer, you get to tap in. The world is your employment mark, which flips the other way. You don't have to live in New York City or San Francisco or any of those places to actually, you know, to work for companies. You can live wherever you want, and as long as you can get online and work virtually. So you can work from anywhere for anyone. So it goes kind of both ways, which changes everything, you know, where we live, how we interact with other people. What do we do? I mean, we're ordering from Amazon. We're going to have drones dropping off stuff soon. I mean, it was already in documents when they started using the drones in military operations that it was going to be used and it will have commercial uses in countries. Most technologies comes out of your military. You know, that's where there's so much funding in it too, in the military budgets, because that's where most of the stuff gets developed. If you think of all the many, many different things that we just now use and get to benefit from, I mean, for goodness gracious, even our highways are like, yeah, it comes from the military to move units quickly from one area to another. Now we all get to drive on highways, you know, as civilians. So you're going to have drones dropping packages off, which is they're going to turn into robotics, which is going to eliminate, obviously take destroy the world that the job market that is, the same that the internet did. And you have the same doom and gloom folks. I just got out of college in the early 2000s. Everybody said, oh, you're not going to have any jobs. There's no future. The internet's going to take everything over. The internet's create more millionaires and billionaires than any other platform in human history. It's elevated the well-being, the financial well-being. I mean, pick your segment of life. It's done a lot more good than a lot of stuff, right? Connected everyone. We're having these conversations over the internet. Same thing. You know, you're going to have massive opportunities in this fourth industrial revolution, this huge technology shakeup, which I don't think people see coming, which is then going to translate into the economy, where we live, how we interact with things, how we buy things, where we go, where we travel. You know, obviously, that's a completely different topic. But obviously, anybody that's been paying attention has been seeing that there are folks that want to restrict the movement of people around the world, and it's going to continue to do that. So the solution is, well, do I vacation close by to beach, water, mountains? Yeah. So Airbnbs has been a massive opportunity, especially on the luxury end for real estate investors. There's folks in our network absolutely crushing it. They picked up on that trend that folks, instead of flying to the Caribbean, well, they're now going to rent, you know, a nice Airbnb, maybe in Florida somewhere, and have a great vacation, and they don't have to do international travel. Or pick your favorite beach down around the United States. So the economy is going to change. And then, you know, we're in the process too. We call it, like, we have another framework, reset framework, where essentially everything that we've taken for granted our entire lives, systems, it's in the process of resetting, meaning it's collapsing, something else will take its place. And again, now it sounds scary, but this has been happening all the time. You know, let's pick a reset, monetary reset, right? We could talk a whole hour about that, but the systems of the world with regards to money has changed every 30 to 40 years. Every 30 to 40 years, there's been a reset. And folks are like, what are you talking about? I said, remember, if you just take like from the last 120 years, the Federal Reserve was only created in 1913. You know, most people don't think about that. I'm like, that's like just over 100 years ago.
It's not that old.
Complete overhaul of the entire world's financial system. Then you had, you know, World War I. You went into World War II. At the end of World War II, a lot of the gold flew in, that came back to the United States because that's how they settled trade deficits. The U.S. was a maximum producer of goods and services for the war front. So they were sending a lot of goods and services overseas, and the gold was coming back to the United States. So in 1944, they established Bretton Woods, which made the U.S. dollar the world's reserve currency. He who has the gold makes the rules. And it was partially backed by gold. So you can convert your currency into U.S. dollars and into gold. Then in 1971, Nixon closed the gold convertibility. So he closed the gold window, took the entire world essentially off the gold standard. So it reset again. And then the world was sort of in a limbo. 1974, a bunch of really smart folks went over to Saudi Arabia and negotiated essentially the petrodollar with the United States and reestablishing the United States as the dominant currency in the world. Again, currency reset and reestablish. And now we're, you know, almost 50 years past that, things are starting to happen. So we look at that.
No one ever really says that or explains it that way. So it's just beautiful.
Appreciate it, because folks are getting, you know, people are getting paranoia and they're getting doomy and gloomy. And I said, you do realize in the Civil War in the United States, right? So if we go back to the Civil War, you had like greenbacks and graybacks. There was like two currencies circulating in the United States. So monetary systems changes every single time. It's important to know how to invest during those times because it's different. It sounds like cliche. It's kind of a meme. This time is different. During monetary system resets, yeah, it's a little bit of a different down cycle than other cycles. So what are some of the things that folks have done? Well, physical things are good because they reprice themselves and they hold value. And then, of course, you take into Maslow's hierarchy. And if you take a look at what's happening around the world, then it starts to make sense because everything is repricing already. The market is telling us that something is happening. Real estate is a hard asset, great hard asset. Land, commodities, and then, of course, food with regards to Maslow's hierarchy and energy, which that's, you know, we could talk about that for another
world, yeah.
Too. But there's a lot going on with energy, but you're starting to see all of these repricing. I mean, this is all economic forces, market forces, which plays into, you know, a new kind of world order, economic order being established. If you look at what's happening over the past 2 years, you've essentially got two camps now in the world. You've essentially have the West and the Western allies, and then you sort of have the Eastern allies and the BRIC nations, which is kind of creating this bipolar totally. Kind of world, right? And it all basically became with the Russian-Ukrainian war, when sanctions were smacked on the Russians. And then, of course, you know, they were kicked out of SWIFT, which is huge. SWIFT's banking system is essentially which the entire world operates on. If you send money around the world, you're using SWIFT. It's essentially a settlement system. So they had to create their own one. But now, essentially, you've cut out, you know, Russia, which is one of the biggest oil and gas producers and commodity producers. A lot of commodities comes from Russia that's used to create other products such as fertilizer, which then, let's just say you're living in Latin America and you're in Chile somewhere, right? How does that affect you? Well, you need fertilizer. And most of the fertilizer through globalization is made with goods coming out of Russia. So it's gonna, that impacts every single person. But now they have all the goods that people want, but they can't operate through SWIFT. So now there's alternative systems. And of course, now folks have to trade with, through the rubles with them and alternative systems with them. So that's why the dollar is really strong, because it's the world reserve currency. The ruble is actually really strong. It's very bipolar. So, you know, as an investor for a strategy during this time, you know, we look at one of the reasons why we are confident in how these things unfold is, yes, it's scary. It's gloomy. It's doomy. There's a lot of things that if you don't understand what's in the process of happening could frighten you. But if you can see it happening, you have a framework like the reset framework where we go, all right, what's happened? What are the dangers every day for yourself, your family, your business, your investments in the monetary system, the banking system? What's going on in the political system? I mean, everything is changing. What's going on in society? You know, and people are like, societal systems? Well, yeah.
Yeah, it matters.
Grant Cardone says, we live on an economic planet, man. You know, not a political planet. It's economic. And I agree with Grant because what I've seen and growing up in South Africa, it's economic. The economic things and imbalances start to froth and come up and manifest itself in society in different ways. That's why you saw it in 2008 and 2009 with when they were bailing out Wall Street, right? Where you had the Occupy Wall Street movement, which everybody's forgotten about that already.
Yeah. No one remembers.
You see that. That's economic stuff. So if people don't see the technological revolution, they don't see what's happening globally and how things are changing within these systems, and they're not prepared and they don't have a strategy for it, they're going to get absolutely caught off guard. But if you do see it coming, you know, here's the positive spin on this. If you do see all of this coming, you do your framework and you analyze your environment every day. You see the opportunities. I mean, it's crazy. I write down 5 opportunities that I see every day because of the craziness that's going on. This is what a business owner and entrepreneurs and investors do. We solve problems. There's so many problems to solve.
Where's the opening?
Yeah. But if you see this coming and you prepare for it and analyze your environment and you position yourself, your family, your business, and your investments on the right side of this, you're going to be be part of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. I know it also sounds a little bit of a cliche and a marketing script. It's not, because the capital doesn't just disappear, right? It moves and it goes where it's treated best. And the folks that position themselves into real things, we're sort of in the, you know, my theme that I talk in my community, we're in the anti-metaverse phase right now, where you need real things and you need them quickly. You need.
There's so many fake things out there right now. You have to have real stuff. Internet.
If you have real things and you've acquired real things, you invest in real things, you're going to be fine. There's going to be a time again for all of the fluffy stuff in the future. You know, and we covered crypto and blockchain since 2016. You know, we were very bullish on that. I'm still very bullish on that. We share with folks ways to invest in that space without even owning coins. You know, like, for example, the California gold rush. People invested in the, you know, the shovels and the clothes like Levi and Strauss and, you know, the housing, the banking and financial services like Wells Fargo. You know, all those folks just made fortunes, much more than the folks digging and panning gold. You could do the same thing in crypto. You know, two ideas for folks, because they would say, give me some example. Do you think that, because there's 87,000 new IRS agents, I promise you they're not going to sit going bored. Do you think that they're going to come off to crypto for taxes? Absolutely. So what's the solution? The solution is a great crypto tax-specific company or firm that specializes in crypto taxes. And I mean, there's already entrepreneurs building those companies. You invest in something like that, you think that's going to do okay, even if crypto crashes even more? Another thing, you know, estate planning. So let's just say you have Bitcoin, right? And you have other coins. What happens if you die? What happens to the coins? How do you transfer it over? How is the keys moved? Like, and there's so many different security levels that you can set up for your crypto. How does that then transfer over to the next generation? Well, an entrepreneur has already come up with a solution for that. And there's crypto inheritance firms that works with folks that are big in the crypto space, shares with them how to get a crypto estate plan, transfer that over to the next generation. It's like little things like that, right? And there's two ways that you can invest in that.
That's brilliant.
Place from a memorandum investor, and you never bought a coin. Yeah, so you have to look at the opportunities that's there, positioning yourself in the right pockets, and then get the skill sets, get the knowledge base, and grow your network, build a network of skills. There's a lot of folks that, you know, we have a huge conversation about sovereignty. Freedom and sovereignty is two of our big themes that we talk about. Free human beings, free and sovereign human beings. It's two different definitions too. You know, and we talk about freedoms, you know, having freedom of time, money, freedom of relationships, freedom of location and of purpose. You know, and a sovereign, if you look at sovereignty, it's how reliant are you actually on systems that are in the process of resetting and kind of like disappearing. And, you know, that's another thing that I bring from my worldview from South Africa. You know, in South Africa, for example, where my parents still live, they don't have electricity for about 8 hours of the day, right? So are you really sovereign if that destroys your business? If you, let's just say you have an online business, what if you don't have electricity? Well, so you can become energy independent through solar. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Well, water, you know, and of course, you know, when electricity goes out, there's opportunists, which usually are undesirable characters. So then you have to look at safety, that kind of stuff. And it's not even like a prepper mindset. It's just common sense of what sovereign individuals do. So we talk about all those kinds of things. And, you know, I think that's very important for folks, you know, of what they can do right now.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. I mean, a lot of everything that you're saying, I wish we had more time, man. But everything you've said, you know what? One thing just to stick on the chaos, right? Like, it's okay. Got to calm down about it. Look at things like your website, your information. I love it that you're mentioning historical data to predict what's going on, but it's great. How does somebody get a hold of you?
Cashflowninja.com is where everything is at. That's all of our resources. Like you said, there's 900 shows, ton of stuff there. Our book on the 21 best cashflow niches is there too, the best 21 niches that have been shared on my show. So that helps folks diversify their income streams. And if they're interested in exploring how to create their own banking system, they could check out a presentational webinar we have at Your Own Banking System.
Love it. MC, you're the man. We'll have to have you back on soon, but thank you for the time. Cheers.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Real Estate Investor MBA. We'll see you soon.